أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We've been looking at Quran City, and in particular, we're focusing now on Musabbihat Crescent. Now, these are the seven chapters or seven surah that begin with Subhan, translated as the glorification of Allah, but in essence, declaring His perfection. Now, this surah has two names, Al-Isra, which is the night journey. Isra is actually a little part of the night. It's also called Bani Israel because in a few verses and a few ayat, Allah summarizes the 2,000-year history of the Bani Israel. But let's look at Isra. And this journey, this night journey, is known as Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Isra is the night journey, which refers to the journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. And it's mentioned in the first ayah of this surah. And Mi'raj is the journey to the heavens, the ascension, which is mentioned in Surah An-Najm, that's surah number 53, ayah 12 to 17. Let's quickly look at how this journey happened. It is definitely a physical journey. Jibreel takes him from Masjid al-Haram, from the house of Hani, who is Imam Ali's sister, who lives in the vicinity of the Kaaba, in a transport that is faster than the speed of light. First stop, Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa. He leads the souls of all the prophets and angels in Salah. Second stop, Baytul Ham, Bethlehem, where Prophet Isa, where Jesus is born. Third stop, Mount Sinai, where Allah talks to Prophet Musa. Fourth stop, the highest of heavens, where even Jibreel cannot go. So he sees the archetype of Jannah and Jahannam. He sees the consequence of actions, communicates with the souls of the previous prophets, and gets directives to effect closeness to divinity. The prophet, in his understanding of his Rabb, came as close as a bow to an arrow. Mode of transport, like I said, is called Buraq, faster than the speed of light. He returns to describe Masjid al-Aqsa with a photographic memory and told them that Abu Sufyan's caravan would come in 3 days with detail, the loss of their camel on their way, their frantic search for it. And then this was verified by Abu Sufyan. So a very important journey, which is in essence consolation to the Prophet. As he was going through a difficult time, he had lost Sayyidina Khadija, Abu Talib. The Quraysh constantly ridiculed him. The people of Taif stoned him out of town. And when in Surah Al-Insyirah, Allah says, indeed, after every hardship, there are two eases. Isra wal-Mi'raj is the ultimate comforting divine gift. Now, we've divided this surah into 10 sections. The first section I've talked about is just the first ayah, and it talks about Al-Isra, the night journey. In essence, it is consolation and elevation to the Prophet. The second section, which is ayah 4 to 8, is literally a summary of the history of the Bani Israel. And we find it mentions two rises and two falls of the Bani Israel. And the rises happened when they had divine messengers. And the fall happened because of the human flaws that we are warned of in the third section. So let's look at the third section. The third section looks at the psyche of the human being and that which causes his or her downfall. So the human being prays for evil, thinking it's good for him. The human being rushes to judgment because he or she wants instant gratification. And in this section, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there's a bird's eye view of his deeds that will be put around his neck. The selfishness will cause him agitation and jahannam, while the selflessness will be deeds that will be immortal and cause him bliss in the dunya and in the hereafter. This is followed by what to do now. So if that's my state, the fourth section gives me the Quranic version of the Ten Commandments and warnings. It's phenomenal, and I'll go through them quickly. So there's obedience to the Creator, kindness to parents, responsibilities towards relations, the needy and the refugees, not to be stingy or wasteful, to not kill children for fear of poverty, not to go near unlawful intimacy, not to take a life, to protect the property of orphans, not to speak without knowledge. And finally, the last one, which actually is the cause of all the other nine, is not to be arrogant. And that leads to the fifth section, which is the consequences and advice to the rejecters of revelation. And their rejection was mainly because of their arrogance. They refused to approach divine guidance with intellectual humility.
And thus Allah says that He has placed between them and the Quran a hidden barrier, hijaban mastura, in essence a seal on the hearts and a blockage in listening. And then section 6, which tells us the origin of arrogance, which is shaitan, who refuses to obey Allah. He's an arrogant bully. He threatens to deceive human beings, but the slaves of Allah, those who are connected to Him, are protected from shaitan. Section 7 follows on about the day of Qiyamah and divine presence. The similitude is given of the protection in stormy seas. And there's a rhetoric question Allah asks. He says, do you feel safe even on land? And a statement which says, every human being will be raised with their imam and given their autobiography to read. So then how do we get close to divinity? How do I excel? What do I do? And section 8 explains it. Here, three things get me closer to Allah. One is salah. The second is recitation of Quran at Fajr, which is witnessed. And finally, the night prayer, Salatul Tahajjud or Namaz-e-Shab, which raises one's status in the hereafter. And this section talks about how the Quran is, in essence, a healing and a mercy. Section 9 is in response to the ludicrous demands that were made by the Quraysh. We will only believe if we see, and here the example is given, of Prophet Musa, the Bani Israel, and Fir'aun. Prophet Musa shows him 9 clear signs, but Fir'aun says, O Musa, you are a man of magic. The implication is we see miracles all around us. We see the signs of divinity all around us, but we still do not believe. Belief only comes when the soul submits to divinity. And finally, the last section. It's an order to call upon Him through His attributes, to praise Him and to declare His perfection. This is the surah in which the word Quran is most mentioned. So in the Quran, if you were to pick one surah where the word Quran is mentioned, it's this surah. So let's in a nutshell look at the focus of this surah, Al-Isra, the Prophet's tour of the universe. There is a summary of 2,000 years of the history of Bani Israel. There is a Quranic version of the Ten Commandments, and closeness to divinity, ascension spiritually, can only breathe through daily salah, the night prayer, the tahajjud, recitation of Quran, and calling Him through His attributes. And if I were to summarize it all, it begins with Subhan. There's an order to do His hamd, to do His praise. And then there is also to magnify Him and to declare His oneness. So in essence, it's Subhanallahi, walhamdulillahi, wa la ilaha illallahu, wallahu akbar. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq to be able to understand His book, to get closer to divinity through His book, and to give us a tawfiq to be able to read it and fall in love with it. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim.